Welcome to the Wake Up Podcast. I am so excited that you're here. Listen, these podcasts are best listened to in the morning because we are waking up not only our bodies from sleeping, but we're waking up our minds, we're waking up our focus, we're waking up our calling, and we are following the breadcrumbs that God has left for us throughout the day over our life to tell us exactly what to do next. So stop saying that you don't know what to do. Stop feeling overwhelmed. Stop living in the valley and start walking into your calling. So I'm so excited you're here. Welcome to the show.
I absolutely love to interview people or talk to people and record it the very first time I ever talk to them because I feel like there's so much just raw conversation that goes back and forth. And why I'm interested in interviewing people is not only to be obedient to God, obviously, but is because I love to hear that everyone is the same, that we all struggle with fear. We all struggle with trust. We all struggle with worry. We all struggle with doubt. You know, we're all the same. It doesn't matter if you have 10 million followers on Instagram and you're a multimillionaire, or if you're just getting started and anyone in between, we are all the same and we all struggle. And I think the biggest misconception is if you are struggling and if it feels bad and it's hard and you're lost, you're the only one and you're a freak show and it's not going to work for you. And it's the way the enemy really uses his pretend authority over us. Like, aren't you scared? Isn't this not going to work? Who do you think you are? You know, all these things that go through our head. So it's one thing for everyone to listen to me and my story and my fear and my things that I've overcame, but I love hearing from other people because it's proof that we're all made for something more. We all have a purpose and we're trying to figure out what that is. And sometimes the road to get to it is a little bit messy, but it's okay. You know, we can make things easier. And yeah, that's what I love about your story. So everyone, this is Jenna, my new friend that I just met, who God placed on my path to do our next interview. And I want to introduce Jenna real quick so everyone knows a little bit of her backstory. And then this is just a raw conversation. I'm getting to know her at the same time as everyone else is. And God's going to be glorified through the whole thing. So Jenna's a wife and a mother and spiritual intuitive who has worn many hats in her life and on her journey to find the purpose outside of her home. And with her very supportive husband, praise God, Jenna has had the time and flexibility to deeply reflect on what she was meant to do. So Jenna has always had a spiritual connection to a higher power, which continues to be something very important to her. And in 2019, Jenna started to intentionally sit in prayer and meditation, which is where the idea of her positive intention prayer cards were born. She believes her prayer cards are God working through her, and Jenna's faith and trust is strengthened by her own journey of deep healing. She wants everyone to know that just because something bad may have happened to you, it doesn't mean that's who you are, because we are never given anything that we can't handle without God. And this is something that Jenna would tell herself a lot when she was younger, but she knows that having a positive mindset along with her faith are two of her biggest priorities in life. And her mission is to help heal and spread love to others. And she's committed to sharing her message of love and healing with as many people as possible through speaking and then those prayer cards, which we're going to talk more about, because I think that that's incredible. And I stalked you a little bit on Instagram to see what those prayer cards looked like. I was like zooming in. I'm like, I need these right now. So welcome to the show, Jenna. Hi.
Thank you. You already have me in tears just from my intro. It's emotional to kind of hear that roller coaster of life every once in a while. So I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about, you said that your purpose that you found is to help heal and spread love to others. Where did that come from?
Those words came in that 6 months of meditation on my office floor. And I was just sitting there and I was like, there's such a greater purpose for me. I know something inside of me is like worthy of more than just this small little world that I live in. I mean, it sounds wild, but like, I want to be on a reality TV show so I can sit here and I can spread my help, heal, and love. Help is helping you by sharing my story, realizing that you're not alone in this journey. healing is that you're able to heal yourself from forgiveness and peace and letting go of what might have happened. And then once we really get into that beautiful spot of healing, we're actually love ourselves more, and then we're able to spread more love. So I'm here to help facilitate, but at the end of the day, it's the own person doing their own work that I hope I can just guide them on that path too.
Yeah. That's important to say, each person is doing their own work, because no matter how bad we want it for someone, we can't pull them along.
No, it's really a personal journey, and it can be very lonely, but I think the payoff in the end is always, again, anything that's uncomfortable is worth your time and energy, because it means we're going to grow from it. So.
Yeah. Where did those 6 months of meditation and praying come from? Was that something God kept telling you to do? Is meditation and prayer something you've always done? Is it something new to you?
I have always been a big prayer. It really got me through my rough childhood, a lot of praying and just knowing, again, that like God will only give me what I can handle. But I had a 3-year-old son and a career that I wasn't in love with, and it hadn't gone the direction I had hoped. And so my husband just knew that there was something different for me out there. And he just was like, hey, take this time, stop working, and just really figure out what your purpose is. Cause he also knows, he's like, you are a shining star. And I knew that the minute I met you. So like, let's find out what that moment is for you. Yeah. And so he really has just been the supporter of allowing me to go down this path, because he knows just as great inside of me, like what's possible. So sweet. I have a very sweet man. But it's important. I think that time was very important, because at the end of the day, I found my purpose. And that was those positive intention prayer cards, which I love from the deepest part of my heart, because I get so many good comments, which you never know when you create a product if it's going to turn out to be like a positive. And it's been such a beautiful positive that I just feel blessed that God worked through me in those times. I mean, I sat at my dining room table and just bawled and wrote prayers and looked through verses and just like, you know, I kept pushing through, and it turned out to be something beautiful. So
that is so cool. That is so great. And it's awesome that you have such a supportive husband. And I want to outline this for a second, because most people don't. Most people's biggest problem is, I have no one in my circle. I have no one supportive. Everyone around me is toxic. Everyone is just spewing hatred and pulling me down. And that's a very real problem that people have. But you said something that I want to go back to, that your childhood was very difficult. And so having someone supportive and uplifting and rooting you on and seeing the greatness in you wasn't how your life has always been, it sounds like. So tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Okay.
And what you had to overcome.
I was raised by a single mother. I have 2 siblings that are younger than me. My mom lost custody of them. So I was kind of the one left behind. I actually didn't find my dad till I was 36 years old. So there was really nobody to fight in my corner for me other than my mother. But she was an alcoholic, a narcissist, sex addict. I hung out with the Hells Angels a whole bunch when I was little, because she dated one for 2 years. I mean, it was just a roller coaster of a life, and it wasn't safe, and it wasn't consistent, and it wasn't any of those things that everybody dreams of. I would lay in bed like a princess and be like, my life is perfect. And, you know, I would like daydream out of this wild world that I lived in, because it was just, it was hard. And I would sit there and I would watch my mom get hit and yelled at, and I would just go, this isn't for me. There's something so much greater outside of these 4 walls that I have to explore one day. So when I really got the opportunity at 19 with $2,000 in my pocket, I jetted out of Washington State and moved down to Arizona. And at 19, I was working 3 jobs and, you know, just busting my ass to just make it. But I wouldn't take any of those moments back now as an adult, because it put me on my path of talking about my pain and putting it into purpose, and those prayer cards are my purpose. So, you know, it's at the end of the day, I'm so grateful, but it took a lot of healing for me to my mother, to get to this place, because I don't think if I still had hatred or anger for my mother, I would be able to be here. And it took a lot of like compassion and understanding that she also had a really bad childhood and she was doing her best and she didn't know any better. Then I was actually able to like really start that process of like forgiveness and finding my own peace. Mm-hmm. I think also becoming a mother really helped me push past a lot of stuff too, because I would never do that to him the way I was treated. And so I think there's a lot of growth and forgiveness in me just being a mother myself. So,
yeah. Yeah. You definitely have to get to that point of she did the very best with what she could. And it wasn't very much and it wasn't very good, but she did her best. And now I'm going to change the trajectory of my genealogy moving forward. And what 100%. Are some things, what are some things that you did to heal from that?
You know, I got pregnant with my son and I thought that because I was the oldest and the first one pregnant, that my mom would actually like maybe give me attention and this would be like a new journey and a start for us. Yeah. And it actually just turned out to be another disappointing situation for me. And my husband looked at me one night and he goes, "You can't expect somebody to do things that they never agreed to." And I was like, oh, the light bulb went off in my head. Like, my mom wasn't a great mom. How could I expect her to be a great grandma? Like, why would I expect it to be any different now than it was then? And that was like the huge shift in me starting my real process of forgiveness and, you know, going down the road of letting all of that baggage go, because it wasn't going to serve my son and it sure as heck wasn't continuing to serve me. So it was really that time to let it go.
And it's kind of that mama bear, like, okay, do it to me, fine, but you're not going to keep doing this to my kids and have power and authority over all of this. Like, it ends now. And really, like, kids make you change that, you know, because you're like, okay, we're done. We're done. Yeah. And then you just begin healing.
And she said, the healing. And that process has taken me like 4 or 5 years. It's not an easy process because something will come up and I'll get triggered and I'll like, you know, we go down that rabbit hole again. Mm-hmm. So it's taken a lot of time. And again, I will always say my mom put a roof over my head and I always had food in my belly, which is more than most people can ask for. So I have a lot of gratitude at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But it was still a wild ride that I love to share because, again, we're not all alone. We actually have the same story, just in a different context all the time.
Yeah. And God says that he'll take our pain and use it for good and we'll turn it into a purpose. And that's why it's so hard when people are looking for the purpose. Like, you knew that there was something there. There was something out there. You've had that sense. And that's how I've always seen it to start in people, is just this knowing of I'm made to do something more, but I have no idea what that is. And so some people will think, most people think, okay, I have to find my purpose. What is the job I'm going to do? What am I going to do that's going to be my purpose? And it's really not something that you just discover, like, oh, I'm going to do this. You know, it really comes from healing and really writing down your story to see where have I had a lot of pain in my life and how is God going to use me to relate to other people? Because if you weren't raised by a narcissistic mother, you really can't give people advice of what to do when they have been. You're like, well, mm-hmm. I'll pray for you, like Google a book or like, I don't know, you know, it's hard. But now that you've walked through that, you're like, let me help you. I can tell you what to do and I can help you along the way. And you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yes. And that, I think I'm part of a group of people where we share the 5%, because most of us don't share the 5%. We just say we're good and we move on with our day. And it's really funny when you get a group of women together and we go around a table and we actually share what's going on. It's all very similar. We're just afraid for some reason to share what's going on. And for me, I'm never afraid to share. I am like the most open book. And that's one of the things I love about myself, because I think I'm able to relate to a lot of people on a lot of different topics, which then makes them relax. And then they become more open to have a beautiful conversation. So I always, that's like a gift of mine that I've realized recently that I love.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that you can see that as such a gift, because a lot of times we just beat ourselves up.
Yeah, at first I used to actually get really, it's funny, my husband was like, what's your problem? I was like, nobody ever asks me questions. I'm always asking people questions. And he's like, but you should see that as a gift and not a curse. And I was like, oh, like that is kind of a cool thing. But there was one thing I wanted to touch on when you were talking earlier, and that was like listening to God and like, where's that message coming from? And I would say that I really had to be in silence to really hear that message from God about what my purpose was. And yeah. I think we get so caught up in a crazy world and a crazy schedule that we don't actually allow ourselves the time to just sit in silence. Because I would pray to God very emotionally. And then, you know, I would just sit there and allow him to talk back. And I really got so many answers that I feel like such an important factor in this whole conversation is just being able to listen.
Yeah. And being able to be still, mm-hmm. because that's the hardest thing. It's not always good to sit in your own thoughts, and it's not really glorified either. We're in this culture of, if you're sitting around, you're lazy, get up and do something. Right. And right. when we're told to hustle and to sacrifice more and we'll get more, it's totally opposite of what scripture says and what God says and what you need to do to really have an abundant life and to thrive. And letting go of that hustle and control, and I'm going to pave my own way and I'm going to get anything that I want and I'm going to sacrifice and sacrifice and sacrifice. It's really completely opposite of what you've learned to do. And you've talked about that, having your, having like affirmations and speaking truth and manifesting. And a lot of Christians think manifesting is bad and woo woo. And you're putting, you know, it's very universal and putting the trust in the planet and the atmosphere. And you're not, it is a lot of, all of it is scriptural and talks about, do not worry, ask and believe and you will receive. And when we live our life in this alignment of, here I am, Lord, I'm not going to hustle and strive. I am going to receive. And like you said in your recent, live that you did on Instagram, that you feel like a spoiled brat sometimes because you are always getting everything given to you. Like you just sit back and it's like, wow, this is such an amazing life. This just came to me. And I feel the same way. And I've heard other people say similar things. So were you always very positive and this manifester, or is that something that was new to you?
So this is actually a really funny story, but my mom used to call me Negative Nancy. When I was a little girl, she used to call me Negative Nancy because I would complain all the time. And so I think that's such a funny side note to this whole, like, yeah, now I love talking about positive intentions and our perspectives changing and stuff. I think the older I got, I realized that I could do anything I wanted. When I moved away at 19 and I had no money and I survived and I made it work, I think I realized that there was something greater than me just making this all happen. Like I would be short on rent and I'd get like a student loan extra check in the mail that would just like cover exactly what I needed. You know what I mean? So I started to realize that the universe was always taking care of me. And once I kind of just opened my eyes to that, it really shifted everything. So the old and leading up to where I am now and having the perspective to look back in life and realize that the hard words of like the hustle and the grind and all those words that you used earlier really are swimming more upstream than floating downstream. And so once I learned how I could just float downstream beautifully and life would align and I trust and I believe and I allow, it all just kind of works out. So once I was really able to do that, I feel like the universe just opened so much more. And then my relationship with God got so much stronger again that I was like, whew, I really can just sit in the back seat and hang on and everything will be fine.
Yeah, right. Everything will be fine. It will all work out. And something my grandmother has always said is that if you can't fix it, or if you can fix it, there's no reason to worry about it. And that's really what I try to just let go. But I asked if you've always been like this, because people will listen and think, oh, wow, good for her. Lucky her. She was just born this natural, positive person. And we do tend to look at other people and have that lens of jealousy. And I wish I was like that. And I wish I could do that. But what people don't see is the hard work that everyone has done to get to where they are. So if you're listening to this right now and you are a negative Nancy and you are a glass is half empty and you are just a pessimist and a complainer, me too. Like, I get it. You're in good company, because most of us were like that and we had to change that narrative. We had to change our vocabulary. We had to change the way we were programmed in our minds. And if you were raised by someone who was labeling you and telling you even more that you're negative and you have even more to overcome because you've been spoken over and labeled and identified as this person for so long. So you feel like, I am a negative Nancy. I am always in a bad mood. Well, you're not. It's just how you were labeled, and you have the opportunity to change it at any moment and at any given time. You can go and do whatever you want to do. If you don't want to be negative anymore, then change it. Don't be negative anymore. You know, be who you want your kids to be. Be who you want your grandkids to be. And what, because they will be what they see. And, you know, I just think that that's so great that you were labeled this and you overcame it, because it's proof that you're like, no, I'm not going to do this anymore. And I'm not going to work 10 times harder trying to swim upstream and get exhausted. That's why so many of us are burnt out, because we're doing things the wrong way. And
most of the time we're doing things for other people, not ourselves also.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Like, let's just go there for a minute, because we are always pleasing other people and walking on eggshells and doing what others think we should do and worried about what they think and what are they going to say. And that people pleasing, that's a big thing to overcome.
I definitely was a people pleaser as a child, because I never wanted to go home to my environment. So I would always be like a people pleaser at other people's houses so I could stay longer. And I didn't realize that till a couple years ago. And I was like, ooh, I need to work on that one. So I'm very cautious of the time that I give and how I give it and who I give it to. I do not say yes to many things. My husband laughs because my favorite word is no. And I will say no to everything in the beginning, and then I'll think about it and be like, okay, maybe I take that one back a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm just so cautious of giving my energy to people that it's not reciprocated. If it's not a two-way street for me anymore, I do not participate. And that's just how I have to live my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it overflows. So everyone, I don't know Jenna from just what this is, but I would say, if I had to guess, you probably have a pretty good relationship with your husband and in your relationship and in your marriage. And how many kids do you have? One, two, one. With your son?
One, 7-year-old.
And I would say that you probably have a pretty good relationship with him also. Is that correct?
Yes, for the most part.
Well, as good as you can have with a 10-year-old.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yes. But when you get these little, like, they feel huge as you're doing them, but they're just little changes that you have to make every day. And as you do these little steps, things start to come together. It overflows into your entire life. That if you get this right, you won't have to try so hard in your marriage. And don't get me wrong, we still have to try. We still have to pray that we shut our mouths and we're not disrespectful and we're doing the right things and we're not moody, and we still have to pray for patience for our kids and try to deal with them and growing up and the change. It still is hard. You still do have to try, but you don't have to try as much. Everything's just kind of flowing with you. And this is when you get an abundant life, and it's, you're filled with joy and you're fulfilled to the fullest, and you have purpose and you have this abundance in general. It really overflows into all areas: faith, family, friends, health, finances. Mm-hmm. it all kind of goes together. So if someone's struggling so bad in their marriage, the problem usually isn't just the marriage. It's a lot more than that. And it's just affecting the marriage.
I mean, it's so my mom has been married and divorced 4 times. And I've been married for 9 years. And it is something inside of me that, like, every time something goes wrong, I instantly in my head go down the bad rabbit hole of like, okay, well, I can get divorced. This is okay. Like, we will be fine. Because that was my mom's instinct every single time, was to divorce and run.
Yeah.
And so for me, I literally have to, like, sit down and I have to take myself back to that calm space, because I'm not getting divorced from my husband. Our relationship is as great as it's going to be. But inside me, I still have those little things that I will let pop up every once in a while. And I just, so we're all the same, and I'm not perfect by any means. And I hate that word completely, but like, I still have things that bother me, and I just have to work through them and know that that's not real life. And that's just my emotions or like a little scar, you know? So
mm-hmm. The greater
communication is key. And I think, go ahead.
No, finish what you were saying. There was a lag. I want to hear the rest of that. You said communication is key.
Oh, I mean, communication is the biggest thing. I never had communication, and I was always guessing what was going to happen next in my childhood. And I think communicating everything is just so important, and communicating your feelings to your husband. My husband is not a mind reader. God, I wish he was, but he is not. And so I think just communicating well is so important. And then again, like you said, I'm a good communicator with my friends. I set my expectations so that they all know on both sides what's going on. But I just think, don't be afraid to use your voice, because that is the most powerful thing we have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And not being scared what people are going to say. If someone has a problem with it, it's their problem. And I love that. It's so freeing.
It's their problem. Yeah. Yep.
Like, let it go. Mm-hmm. Just be truthful and honest.
I'll sometimes think, yeah, I get nervous sometimes. I'll be like, oh my gosh, what do they think? And then I'm like, who cares? That's their own problem. That's not my problem. And I just have to remind myself and move on, you know?
Yeah, it's it definitely takes some practice doing that for sure. But the greater the gifting, the greater the calling, the greater the purpose, the greater the attacks. And so I think those little messages that pop up in your mind of, we should just pack up our stuff and go, we can do this, it is from programming and what you experienced, but it's the devil trying to get in there. And he is trying to destroy marriages. That is his number one thing. And right now, even in Christian homes in the United States, 60% of Christian marriages are ending in divorce, because if the devil can get into the marriage, cause disunity, discord, divide, he wants to split everybody up. Because if he does that, then he wins the battle and gets your mind focused on the battle and fighting him and trying to swim upstream, that you can't even connect to your purpose. Cause you're like, I don't even have time to think about my purpose. I'm trying to stay alive. And anything that pops up into your mind, like, you should go, this isn't working, you don't deserve this. And that's why it's so important to find that tribe of women that can speak into your life the right words. Because if you're getting the worldly advice, they're saying, oh, forget him, you can do better than that, you don't deserve that, go on and leave, you know, and they don't mean to destroy your life. They're just trying to have your back and be your fierce supporters. But a lot of times that advice isn't going well. So it's picking the advice from the right people and kind of blocking out the people that you don't want the advice from, because that could go very bad, very bad.
Yeah, there's a couple that we know well that have been married 17 years. And she's married to a man very similar to my husband. And she's the only person I take advice from, because they've been married 17 years and they're not going anywhere. And I trust her. So that's, you know, I don't talk much about, if any, about my marital issues, but if there is one person to go to, it's the only one I trust.
That's so good. So. Yeah. You need to find that. And if you're listening to this and you don't have that, you need to pray that that person comes into your life, because they will. If you say, God, bring me the person that's going to help lead me, guide me, pour into me when it comes to marriage or health or spirituality or whatever it is, and God will bring that person right into your life and you'll be blown away. And I think that's where the trust comes from that we were talking about in the beginning, is trusting and kind of letting go of things and allowing things to come in. And it's something that you build over and over. You know, trust is a verb. You have to do something in order to trust, and it's an action. And so when you put it out there and God answers you, and this person just plops on your doorstep who wants to mentor you in your marriage or your health, or, and then you're like, oh, okay, what else can I do? And it builds that trust a little bit more. And then you do it again, and you do it again, and you trust with another thing. And then you get to the point where you're like, I know that I know that I know that God's got me, and something will come from this.
Yeah, that's why I call myself a spoiled brat. Because we've worked on that trust for so long that I've trusted and trusted and trusted. And then I look around and I'm like, I've made it. Like, I've made it to the place that little girl was crying at night to have, like, this home that's safe and happy and loving, and there's food on the table. And, you know, I created this environment that I'd only ever prayed for as a little girl. So sometimes I almost have to, like, blink my eyes and be like, look at how far you've made it. Like,
yeah,
relax. Everything else is going to work out. It will be okay.
Yeah. So this whole journey was for you to take a break from working, figure out your purpose, figure out why you're here. You made the prayer cards. You got closer with God. Now tell me, what are your plans now? Do you know?
I mean, honestly, I am kind of in this limbo stage of, I don't know what's next. And I'm just, again, I'm just trying to trust, believe, and allow are my words right now, because I would love to be on camera and be this light of joy and possibilities. But I don't know. I'm waiting for God to put the next adventure in front of me, because I truly don't know what it is. Besides being a wife and a mom, I'm waiting for God to answer my next prayer.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It's kind of a weird place to be. I'm trying to be patient and I'm trying to be calm, which can be hard for a mover like I am. But yeah, I'm just trying to sit back and also enjoy it, because aren't we supposed to enjoy all the beauty of what life is? And so,
yeah,
just trying to relax right now.
Yep. Right. About being present, being in a good mood, taking care of the things that are in front of you. That's really what God's will is for us. And sometimes that looks beautiful and great and awesome and so fun. Sometimes it really is a tough place to be in. When you look at the characters in the Bible, being in God's will for them was, you know, Daniel going into the lion's den, was Joseph being captured into slavery, was Jesus dying on the cross. Like, being in God's will isn't always just unicorns and rainbows and everything amazing, but you're present, you know, God's got you, and you're just doing the next thing that's in front of you, that next step that you felt inclined to do. So we got connected because of a mutual friend, Melissa. And how did you get connected to the company that was kind of putting your resume out there and getting you interviews through podcasts? How did that come about?
So I actually met somebody locally, and I had, for PR, and I had signed a contract with her, and it ended almost immediately, which was very interesting. I now, looking back, understand why that happened. But now I'm with Lauren and Melissa, and you know, I was, again, just praying, like, I want these cards to go. I was praying for something bigger to happen with my prayer cards, and podcasting and sharing my story felt like a really beautiful, aligned place for me. And so, again, I just kind of put it out there, and Lauren happened to fall on my desk, and it just, again, worked out so naturally and beautifully, but it was just an answer to my prayer. That's kind of the simple answer.
Yeah. Well, it is a simple answer. It's the answer that I was hoping that you were going to say, but it's proof that you're just doing the next thing that you prayed. This came in front of you and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this and see where it leads me. See where it takes me. You said you want to be on video. You want to be sharing your story. So you know, this is the next thing to start doing. And it all just kind of aligns from there and flows through.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
It is simple. And I think that that's like, if I could amplify anything for anybody, is if you have to fight for it, it's not meant to be.
Mm.
And not that my dreams aren't worth fighting for, but it's such a different way than what I thought it was when I was 19.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, if you have to fight for the success or fight to have your way or down the path that you want, then yeah, maybe you're not going in the right direction. And that's exactly what I saw from my last industry that I was in, that I was working 90 hours a week to try to make something happen and it just wasn't happening. And then God said, leave. And I'm like, I'm not leaving this. Like, are you crazy? Like, we have goals. We're not leaving. We're moving forward. And God's like, I have something better for you. I have something way better for you. And it is, it's just, you know, letting go and just doing the next thing, that not worrying and stressing about the end result. Like, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? I'm going to have my own show. I'm going to be, and it's like, don't think about the top of the mountain. Just think of the next step that you have to take. God's not going to give you, here's the next 100 steps, because he knows that you will just freeze and you will just panic. And if you saw the rest of the plan, you would have a million questions. Like, I don't think this is going to happen. Are you sure this is my plan? Have you looked at me? Do you know what I'm capable of? Now, that's not going to work. This goes against me, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Somebody once said, if you got all the miracles in your lifetime at one time, it would be the same as getting all the food for your lifetime at one time and you can't consume it. So let's take it one miracle at a time. I live by one miracle at a time. Mm-hmm. And I try and find one miracle that's happened to me every single day. And mm-hmm. I think that just trying to acknowledge that beauty or that gratitude in the day is a big amplifier for the next day. So if there's like a small place for somebody to start, it's just pointing out that one miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to cry talking about it.
And you keep gratitude journals, right? Or you write down your gratitudes?
Yes. Yeah. I don't have a specific journal. I get like just the school books and I journal in those a lot. That's like my favorite thing to do is journal. But yeah, I like to list my gratitudes in the morning and I like to list my gratitudes at night, and they don't have to be a lot. There can be two or three also sometimes, because I will have had a frustrating day or whatever it might have been. But I think for your own DNA and our own soul and our own heart and our mind, you have to point out the miracles or you'll never see anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll just brush right over them and go on to the next thing.
Yeah, and then it's just, I don't know. I think there's something very like joyful and fun also, and acknowledging the gratitude and the miracles, because you can realize how far you've also come from a year ago. So I don't know. I'd love to be able to like see the elevation of it all happen.
Yeah. Has journaling been something you've always done?
Actually, journaling has been a huge thing for me since I was a little girl. I have all of my journals still too, which is funny. Again, I didn't have a lot of communication in my household. And so journaling was like the one place I could put down all my feelings and my emotions and my hurt. And now as an adult, I really appreciate journaling, because if there's, again, like an emotion or something that I'm struggling with, I can really journal my emotions out and normally find the answer to it. But journaling is just like a safe place for me to put out all my emotions and my concerns and my hurt. So it's one of the most therapeutic things I've found for myself.
Yeah, I agree. Journaling is life-changing. And that's the first question I ask people when they ask me for help or they start telling me how they're feeling, is I say, do journal. Because if you don't, you need to start, because you got to get it out. You got to get it out. You got to talk to God, journal, you know, anything that you write, it doesn't matter. Just start writing, like just get it out.
Yeah. One of the things that is hard for me is I get something on my racetrack, like in my brain, and it just like loops and loops and loops on repeat, good or bad. But journaling is the one place I figured out if I write it out, I can get it out of my brain, which is a relief for me at least. So
yeah,
it's, I hate the loop is the worst.
I know, you're like, get out of my brain. Stop thinking about this. And I use it a lot.
Yeah.
With the loops of negative things that I keep thinking of and things that I'm fearing or worrying, or sometimes I can't even identify what it is. I just have this deep feeling of dread and a little bit of worry, like I'm dreading something coming up, and I'll try to think like, why do I have this feeling? And to be transparent, open, and I shared this on my last interview with someone, but it happened again this morning as I woke up and I had that feeling of dread. And I'm like, why am I dreading? Like, I don't have anything to dread. My husband and I are about to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary, and we're going away this weekend. And I have this big filming thing next week in Nashville that I'm really excited about. Like all these, it's a really exciting time in my life, but I had this heavy dread. And I immediately realized it's because I had this interview. And when I looked at my calendar, I'm like, that's it. I don't want to do it. And immediately in my brain, like in my subconscious, because not my conscious brain was like, we're not canceling and we're doing this. My subconscious brain though was like, we should just cancel. Like we should just reschedule. Maybe she wants to reschedule. Maybe you'd like put it out there. Like, hey, if you'd rather reschedule, we can. And I'm like, no, we're doing this. We're doing this. Shut up. We're doing this. And I knew that was at like 8 o'clock this morning. And I knew that I needed to spend a good couple hours with God, because I knew that it was an attack. Satan's trying to keep my mouth shut. It's been very apparent from the beginning. He doesn't want me doing podcasts. He doesn't want me speaking to people and letting them get out their stories. He doesn't want any of that. And I had to spend time in the Word and in affirmations and meditation, because I had to get my mind right. And I had to journal out what I'm feeling and kind of like pep myself up. Like, we're going to do this because we've been called to greater things. And we are capable because we have God, because we are called, because we are chosen. So like, I had to like really like pep myself up. And then the feeling completely went away, completely gone. And then that dread and worry turned into excitement. And I can't wait, because I realized if the devil is trying to put this feeling in me and get me to cancel and shut my mouth, this story must be really life-giving. And then I got excited. Like, what is she going to say? Because this is going to be good. Someone is listening right now and they're feeling so connected to this. Like, thank you for sharing this. And the more you share your story, it really is just turning the lights on to Satan's schemes. Anyone who feels dark and alone and depressed, you're just going in and like turning the light on. Like, nope, this room isn't dark anymore. This is light. You have a purpose. Wake up. Let's go. Figure it out. Doesn't matter what happened. We will get through it. God's going to use it. And I can just see that in you. When I first looked at your Instagram and seeing you and talking to you here, I know that God has something huge in store for you. And I can just see it. I can see this vision over your life of impacting so many people and helping them out of darkness. And God is using you already for so much. And this is just the beginning. I feel like he's saying, like, this is just the very beginning, that there is going to be huge things that happen, but your belief that you have in yourself and the ability to listen to him of what the next step is, like, that's what's so cool is like, okay, God, where are you going to take me next? Because I'm saying yes and I'm showing up. And what is this? And so your prayer cards is your first product that you created, but I know that it's not going to be your last. There's going to be a lot in store for you. Definitely not.
Oh, yes. I have lots of ideas.
Yes. I love that.
Thank you for saying that. I feel like what I'm doing, there is a purpose to it. So thank you for sharing that. That means the world to me. So thank
you. Huge purpose. And what's hard about building businesses online is that you don't always get to see the people that you're impacting. you don't walk into a room and you're speaking in front of 5,000 people and people are coming up to you saying, thank you so much. Yet. You're right. And so it's hard because you feel like, is this even impacting anyone? Is sharing this live video even making a difference? Is making this even a difference? You know, it's really hard to see the difference that's being made, but you have to just rely and know that God is using your story for good.
Yeah. I think just having consistency for myself and sharing it is so important. I think having consistency and showing up for him is so important. I'm just trying to do my best over here and hopefully shed some light on something that somebody's felt very alone with for a very long time. And we can, you know, grow out of all of our stories together.
Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do not.
So I don't know why I asked you that.
Should I have one?
I feel like you should have one. Your story, your testimony, your little bits and tips that you have to offer, would just pray on that and see if that's something that you feel like you need to go to. That is a great platform and a great way to just start sharing things and getting the word out there. And you have a lot that you've gone through and you have a lot to offer, and it's the easiest place to offer a lot and to get your voice out there and your name out there and your face in front of other people too at the same time.
Wow. I will sit with that one.
Yeah. So tell us about your prayer cards. Where can we buy your prayer cards?
Okay. Prayer cards are on Etsy at Jenna B Spiritual, which is also my Instagram handle and my website. I got very lucky. But there are 7 different topics of prayer cards. I have peace, love, positivity, grief, worthiness, strength, change. And then I just got a request for the travel card. So we have a travel prayer card now as well, which is super fun. But they really, like, the grief prayer card came out of a moment where my friend's son had passed away, and I wanted to give her a prayer that she didn't have to think about, but she could say and feel relief. And so they all have a very special place in my heart. Like I said earlier, the worthy one, I saw a lot of my girlfriends struggling with worthiness, and I'm like, you're also strong and amazing. What is your problem? Like, can't you see it? And so a lot of the topics just came from my everyday life of being around other beautiful women. But the travel one seems to resonate well with children, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. Wow. Opening up a whole new door to children and their prayers and teaching them this. Like, I think that all the time, if I knew what I knew right now, when it comes to my relationship with God and my spirituality, when I was a kid, I would be so far along. Like, if I can teach my daughter this at the age of 4, it's, you know, how amazing. And
yeah,
I wish so bad that everyone, including myself, could see ourselves the way that God sees us. Because you looking at your friends saying, you're amazing and great and gifted and beautiful and bright, how do you not see it? That's what God's telling us all the time when we doubt and worry and fear. Like, I got you and you're awesome and you're going to do this. Like, don't think of yourself that way. It's truly beautiful.
Well, and during COVID, I was really struggling mentally just to, like, you know, keep the family together, keep the household together. Yeah. And I kept looking for more of a positive prayer. And I couldn't find it. And my girlfriend's like, oh, get this app. You'll love it. It has like a Bible verse and a thing every day. And I just realized it was so negative. And the words in it were so like heavy and fearful. And it didn't give me that like love and excitement that I wanted again in life, that I needed in that hard moment. And so I'm very particular about the words that I've used. I'm making sure that, you know, there is a positive intention to my prayers, because I think that when we pray in the negative, we're really just amplifying the negative. But when we pray in the positive with gratitude, we're actually amplifying all the things that we truly want. So why aren't we praying more positively at the end of the day? So that was my big push with these positive prayer cards, was to pray more in the positive than the negative.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
great.
And I think we go to God to pray wrong.
Yep. We'll put the links to Jenna's website and her Etsy and her Instagram. So you guys can get it down there and you can see it and you can purchase those cards. I love the different categories. That's so cool. And I am just really excited to watch you and see what God has in store for you and the next thing that you create and you release. And like I said, I see so much greatness in you and really big things, that this is just the beginning of what it is to come. So thank you for sharing vulnerably, not only here, but in general in your life, and for doing the thing that God wants you to do, because so many people need you and we need more people to step up and help us be in the good spot to go and fight the battle and to go fight against the evil one. Like, we need people to wake up and join the battle and help us fight. We do.
Yes. But by the way, ditto to you. If you're about to do a camera thing, that's so exciting.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I am really excited. Yes. Really, really excited.
I mean, is that something you've been praying for that like has kind of naturally unfolded as well?
Yes. Yes, it definitely has. And it's cool when things just kind of land and you're like, okay, here we are. And it really makes it less nerve-wracking, because you know, if God's giving it to you, then this is the plan and he's got it covered. And all you have to do is just show up. So all I'm worried about now is my outfits. That's it. I'm like, I really do need
sounds to like me. That's my only word.
Yeah, I'm like, I need to spend some time today looking at outfits, because I fly out Monday and I have zero idea what I'm wearing. So
it's the worst. It'll be okay. It'll okay. All work out.
Yeah. First world problems, right? There's worse problems out there. Well, it was so nice to chat with you and to connect. And if you guys feel you are connected to Jenna, you want to hear more of her story, you want to connect with her, Instagram is the place to do it. Like I said, all her links are below. Send her a DM. Let her know you listened to this. Send her some encouragement. And if you want to be a guest on the show, send me a DM on Instagram and we'll make it happen. Thank you for waking up with me today and setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I pray that God leads you and guides you to your promised land, and your fear and your worry and your doubt all wash away. If you are stuck in the valley and you are feeling hopeless and helpless, please download my 5 Steps to Hope Valley Guide that will tell you step by step by step how to get out of the valley and to stay out of the valley. You can find that on the link on my Instagram, as well as tons of other free tools, prayers, printouts for your identity, and to get my favorite list of books, devotions for adults and for kids. Also learn my favorite accountability software that I use for my kids, and check out my favorite must-watch sermons if you're in the valley. Thank you. God bless.